the San Antonio Express News, this is The Docket with courts and crime reporter Elizabeth Zavala as she breaks down the trials in the Bexar County Courthouse. I'm Joy Marie Scott. So there's a lot to talk about since the last episode of The Docket a few weeks ago. As summer vacations turned to the start of school, the Bexar County Justice Center went from relatively calm to insane. It was really difficult for Elizabeth and I to get together to even record. I can just imagine how crazy it was for you, Elizabeth, covering the courts and for the Express News, and I don't even know if you ever got lunches during that period. So we promised we would talk about when we last left. We promised we were going to talk about a judge who was removed from the courtroom rotation following allegations that he used racial slurs to describe undocumented immigrants. And there was the verdict against the undocumented immigrant who was accused of killing a Northwest Vista College student that we were also going to cover. But first, before we dive into that, just give us a sense of how busy and chaotic the courthouse has been for you these past few weeks.
Yes, Joy. You know, to say insanity is probably a good term for it simply because you went from, you know, I like to say it's either feast or famine at the courthouse. You know, summertime starts, you've got judges, attorneys, prosecutors, everybody is taking vacation. They're going, you know, to fun places. It kind of slows down a little bit. And, you know, there will be docket calls and you know, you might get a plea or something that happens, but it really went from being a place where you could actually walk down the halls relatively, you know, smoothly to it being just incredibly crowded. People are, you know, standing in line to get into the parking lots around the Justice Center. So it's, you know, the busy trial schedules did prevent us from talking about some of these cases. So now that we're back, you know, to normal, let's, you know, we can catch up a little bit. You know, there were a lot of other ones in addition to the ones that you mentioned, several other cases that have been resolved since then. So maybe as we move on with the docket in the coming weeks, we can talk about those as well.
Okay, so bring us up to speed. Remind us with Judge Mark Lucian, the visiting judge, and his subsequent removal. What happened then?
Yes, Judge Mark Lucian has been around San Antonio and South Texas for a very long time. He is a graduate from Trinity University, and he received his law degree from St. Mary's University School of Law. And he's been a prosecutor for the Bexar County District Attorney's Office before as well. So in 1998, he ran as a Republican and was elected to the 144th State District Court. And he was on the bench there from 99 to 2006. And in 2012, he ran against Judge Ron Rangel for the 379th State District Court seat, and he lost. So since that time, Judge Lucian had been on the rotation as a visiting judge, not only in Bexar County, but throughout South Texas, and had been assigned through Judge Sid Harrell, who, before he became the Administrative Judicial Region Judge of Texas, which encompasses 22 counties in the region, Judge Harrell served on the 226th State District Court for 30 years. So he's a judge that has a lot of experience.
So what does a visiting judge do?
Well, first, a visiting judge, these are not elected judges anymore. At one point they had been, and they aren't really connected to any specific court. These are what they call experienced jurists who either have retired or they lost an election. So visiting judges are used to help ease court backlogs and temporarily replace judges who are ill or on vacation. Currently, there's about 40 on the rotation. But, you know, we were talking earlier about how, you know, there wasn't really much going on during the summer with people going on vacations. That's pretty much a time that you're going to see visiting judges kind of peppering the courtrooms in Bexar County.
So tell us about what happened and how you found out.
Right. Okay. Judge Luchin, the situation with these allegations. There was an email complaint that was provided to the Express News that detailed a conversation. And in this email, a staffer wrote that they were working in a special courtroom in the Bexar County Jail. And on this particular day, the court was handling defendants who are undocumented immigrants. And in this particular court at the jail, they usually look at nonviolent crimes such as theft, trespassing, and misdemeanor drug use. So in the complaint, this staffer said that Judge Luchin said, quote, "Things were easier back then when we used to call them wetbacks," end quote. Now, the complaint says another employee admonished Judge Luchin, who allegedly then responded using the Spanish slur to describe that other slur, which is the term mojados. Now, the complaint noted that all of this happened on August 7th, and the complaint also said that this was not the first time that the judge had been linked to such comments.
The complaint implied that there were more incidents. Did you find more incidents?
According to the person making the complaint, which went directly to Judge Harrell, the month before this August 7th incident, Judge Luchin apparently was on the bench in another immigration case when he noticed the defendant was wearing a khaki-colored jail uniform, while other defendants wore orange, red, or blue. And, you know, just as an aside, a lot of times people will ask, you know, why does a defendant wear a certain color? Sometimes you'll see female defendants wearing blue or orange. Sometimes the men will wear orange or red. That is a really good question, because sometimes you'll get, you know, oh, red today means this, or blue today means this. But I have actually never seen a khaki jail uniform, so this kind of piqued my interest on that as well. The incident, back to that incident, this person was wearing a khaki-colored jail uniform, and the complaint states that the judge asked the defendant if he was wearing that color because he was Mexican. And the document went on to say that a bailiff told the judge that the inmate was in that color because he was a trustee, which is an inmate, basically, and that he was wearing that color because he had been granted privileges because of good behavior. Mm-hmm. So yet another answer as to why there's a different color.
Okay, so just to recap, a complaint went up the chain in the courthouse, and then it was provided to the Express News.
Yes.
So the administrative judge removed him from the rotation, correct?
Yes, Joy. Judge Harrell confirmed that there had been a complaint filed against Judge Luchin. And after Judge Harrell looked into it, he told me that he removed Judge Luchin from the rotation, and he declined to give any more information on the matter, calling it a personnel issue.
So what was the reaction to the witnesses and the other people in the courthouse who are hearing this?
Well, according to the complaint, the person who submitted it said that there were at least three witnesses to this August 7th incident in what they call jail court. Any given day, it's jail court, drug court, mm-hmm. immigration court. Mm-hmm. So on this particular day, when they were doing immigration court, all of the people who were in there were Hispanic. And according to the complaint, they were highly offended. Mm-hmm. and in shock that Judge Luchin would say such things. Now, I have to say that when I contacted Judge Luchin about the complaint, he was extremely upset about it. And, you know, he's from Texas. He told me, you know, that, you know, this is ridiculous. I'm from South Texas, the Rio Grande Valley, actually, he said. And he also stated, though, that he was having a private conversation with a court staffer about the proper terms used for illegal and undocumented immigrants. And he said there was no docket going on and that the incident was taken completely out of proportion. So people at the courthouse really, and I'm not surprised, were not eager to talk about this. You know, they, many of these are attorneys who not only have cases in Bexar County, in San Antonio, but throughout South Texas and or, you know, in other parts of the state even. So it's understandable that nobody really wanted to go on the record about it. Mm-hmm. In the political environment also, I mean, there's so much division. Mm-hmm. You just name it. You know, people are not going to want to say anything about a judge, even though he's been removed, you know, mm-hmm. from this rotation, he's still a judge. So again, you know, it's understandable. And if this was in any other business, you know, I'm not necessarily sure people would want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. When you spoke to Judge Luchin about it, you said he felt like it was blown out of proportion, but was he able to understand how defendants would think that they wouldn't get a fair trial?
I don't think I can say one way or the other. I think he was just so shocked. My impression, just based on our conversation, is that he was having a conversation with someone in that courtroom and that other people overheard. He maintains that there wasn't really a docket going on and that it was, my impression was that it might have been just an off-the-cuff type of conversation. But, you know, I guess as we have, you know, seen, you know, locally, you know, statewide and nationally with different examples of people who have been, you know, accused of saying, mm-hmm. Homophobic things, racial things. I think people pay more attention, mm-hmm. and maybe what no one complained about before, yeah. maybe years ago.
Things are changing.
And in fact, in speaking with Philip Bettis, the president of the Mexican American Bar Association, mm-hmm. of San Antonio, he, you know, pointed out that derogatory comments of any kind, especially racially charged comments, have no room in the courtroom, mm-hmm. you know, speaking to mm-hmm. what you asked me. He went on to point out that judges and elected officials are expected to be held to a higher standard because of their power and stature in the community. And on behalf of his organization, Philip Bettis commended Judge Harrell for taking swift mm-hmm. action. Mm-hmm.
So we have a little bit more time, and there was the case involving an undocumented immigrant who was accused of murder in the death of a 20-year-old college student. You want to bring us up to speed on that?
Sure. Yes, Joy. This case, you know, again, going back to the beginning, this was mm-hmm. this was a week of a removal of a judge from a rotation, and a couple of murder trials, and a sentencing, which we discussed last time. So in this particular case, a Bexar County jury found an undocumented Mexican immigrant guilty of murder in the killing of a San Antonio college student whose body was set on fire in a north side apartment. And this is the case involving Ernesto Esquivel Garcia, who was 20 years old last year when he was arrested and accused of killing Jared Vargas, who was also 20. Jared was a Northwest Vista College student who wanted to pursue cybersecurity studies at the University of Texas at San Antonio. And he had been reported missing after he left work at Bowl and Barrel at the Rim, and firefighters found his body 3 days later on June 18th of 2018 while they were trying to put out a fire at Esquivel Garcia's apartment, which was in the 7900 block of Jones-Maltzberger.
So what was the relationship between the two that led to this?
Well, what we were able to find out was that these men worked together briefly. So, you know, motive in this case was a little difficult to figure out because during trial proceedings, the defendant lied several times to police. He at first said he knew nothing about the fire. He said he didn't know Jared Vargas. And he also told police that he didn't live in the apartment that burned and that he didn't see anything at all. So all of those things would turn out to be lies because, as you know, many of the witnesses were coming in to testify, they were able to, you know, like they brought in the apartment manager who said that, you know, that was his apartment. Esquivel Garcia had actually moved upstairs into a vacant apartment after the fire and had denied to police that, you know, that was his apartment. But, you know, it ended up that it was his. There were just a lot of things that, that just seemed that just didn't add up. And when pressed some more, the defense, you know, had also argued that although Esquivel Garcia did lie, that it was Vargas who put everything in motion that got them together. They said that he had contacted Esquivel Garcia about getting drugs. And Esquivel Garcia ended up telling authorities later on that he killed the victim in self-defense because he believed Vargas was going to sexually assault him. Mm. And when I say that this, you know, motive is a little difficult to figure out, there wasn't really a lot more that was brought in about that aspect of it. One of the things that occurred in this trial was Esquivel Garcia's wife testified. Mm. And said that her husband had done something to her car and that it was, you know, we were left thinking that that this was actually also about Vargas's car, because an interesting detail that came out during this trial was that after Jared Vargas was killed, Esquivel Garcia took his car and he personalized it, and he put things inside of it that made it, you know, kind of like made it like his own. So, you know, all of those things put together, you know, you were left wondering how, you know, what really happened here. So one of the things that the jury was allowed to consider was whether Esquivel Garcia acted in self-defense. And, you know, when you think about, you know, what the defense had said about, you know, he was contacted about wanting to buy drugs, and then he ended up taking the car and then saying that he thought that there was some sort of, you know, romantic gesture there that was not, you know, being accepted. In the end, the jury deliberated for 2 hours, actually 3 hours, and they found him guilty of murder. So they didn't buy into any sort of argument for self-defense. So right now, Esquivel Garcia is in jail, and he faces up to life in prison, and at this point is scheduled to be sentenced by Judge Kevin O'Connell sometime at the end of September.
We did say that Esquivel Garcia was undocumented. Did that play a part at all in the trial, or was that a factor? Was that discussed, or kind of how did that, you know, did we know how long he was here? And
this is a good question because, you know, we don't really identify people in this particular manner when we cover these cases. Mm-hmm. But in this particular case, we did, because at the time of the killing, Esquivel Garcia had been ordered to self-deport out mm-hmm. of the country. He had been he had a record that at this point I'm not really clear on what that was, but he had been in the system here in Bexar County, and 3 weeks before mm-hmm. this incident happened, he was told that he needed to leave. So that became a reason to introduce his status mm-hmm. in the case. Now, in the trial, he needed to have an interpreter to really understand what was being said, you know, regardless of what his abilities were to understand English. You can't really take that sort of chance mm-hmm. because you're listening to all of the legalities and you know, you have to be able to help your attorney with your case. So he sat wearing headsets, much mm-hmm. like we're wearing right now, mm-hmm. with a interpreter that sat behind him or off to the side behind him near the attorney's table. And they had their own little microphone, and everything that was being said in court that a court reporter would take down mm-hmm. for testimony for the judge and for the case, that interpreter was telling him, and he was, you know, listening himself. So, and then there were a few, there were some witness testimony that needed to have an interpreter in trial as well. So, but, you know, some people have asked in email or on comments on the story, mm-hmm. why do you bring up his mm-hmm. his status? Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you have a situation like that where someone is actually, you know, has been found to be here illegally and has been told, you know, you have a certain amount of time to leave the country, and then something like this happens, you know, you can't not say that, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. I understand.
Tragic for both men. They were both 20.
You can read more on these cases that Elizabeth has covered and the courts and crime reporting on expressnews.com. And next episode, we will be talking to you, Elizabeth, about Janine Jones, the convicted child killer. She will go to trial next year for the deaths of 5 San Antonio babies in the 1980s.
Yes.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Joy.
From the San Antonio Express News, this is The Docket. I'm Joy Marie Scott.